Hey everyone, thank you for joining us at another edition of Direct Connect. And today I got my wonderful partners, Leonard Chamberlain and Steve Parker, here with me. Hello, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Well, that was a little slow. You need to be a little bit more excited. We got a great topic today to talk about. And this is one that one of our other managing partners at Archer brought up a couple weeks ago. And I think it's just a great topic. And it's about, we got to stop talking about your last audit. Why do we always hear from clients and from utilities or anyone that's being audited, when they're coming up to their next audit, they want to talk about the last one? Whether it's good or bad, it's always a conversation that comes up is, well, at our last audit, the auditors did this. And quite frankly, I think it doesn't matter. I don't know what you guys think, but I think you need to just consider clean slate. Don't even worry about what happened at the last one.
I'll concur with you, Stacey. I'll jump in and say, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, past performance does not guarantee future results. And at risk of offending somebody somewhere in the country, you know, we're entering college football playoff season. And just because you won the national championship last year doesn't mean you're necessarily the favorite for this year. So, and just because you lost last year doesn't mean you're not a contender this year. So go Ducks.
Well, that's a great analogy. Actually, thinking about a basketball team, you know, it's especially in the NBA, it's constantly changing, right? Who's on the team? And I think that would matter for your next audit too. Who's on the team?
Very true. And another keeping with the sports analogy, the rules may change next year. So just because it was ruled a complete pass and touchdown, you know, last year, doesn't mean that same play is going to be good this time. So yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you know, as a former auditor, to go into clients and hear those comments, right? Oh, well, we, you know, the auditors had no issue with this last time. We got, you know, glowing recommendations. That doesn't mean anything necessarily. It means that you made it through your last audit with no findings. Well, is exactly what that means and nothing more.
Yeah, define what no issue means. It may mean they just completely missed it. They didn't see it. You know, the no finding doesn't mean there's no findings to be had. There means there were no findings in this short period of time they got to look at your material. I think that's a big play. We keep on bringing up the sports. I know watching football this year, I've been kind of casually watching the last couple of years, not so much in the NFL, but what in the heck is happening with the kickoff stuff? I don't even understand. Nobody's running. When did that rule come into play? I'm totally lost on that one. And he can't even touch the quarterback anymore if you breathe on him or breathe on the kicker. I mean, literally breathe on him. It's a foul, you know, of some sort. And that goes to basketball, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The rules, like you said, Leonard, the rules change a lot. And that does happen in any of the regulatory spaces are out there. I mean, take a TSA or take on NERC-SIP, the actual single one that's out there that's mandatory and enforceable. That one changes. The focus changes every year with the CMAP that they come out with. That new CMAP has the risks that they're considering to be the highlight focus for the coming year. That's change. So relying on your past audit as we're all good, that document itself should be enough to tell you need to focus on other things. You need to focus on what you're doing and how that's relevant to being compliant. Not that I got through it.
Yeah, I'll jump on that, Stacey, as well. And you know, there's different angles to this, and you brought in a couple of different angles. I remember an old quote. Some of the old timers may remember our good friend Kevin Perry down in the old SBP region, and he used to be fond of saying, you know, I reserve the right to get smarter. And I know some people think the auditors are going the other direction, but, you know, we'll set that aside. They do. They can come in and last year, you know, they might not have understood a given scenario. They might have a deeper understanding of the technology that you're using, the way you're approaching it, more nuanced understanding of the wording of the standards. So a lot of things can change, even if the entity itself hasn't changed anything, even if they have the same people and the same evidence. There's a chance that you could get a different result coming out of an audit. And of course, we know that the entities aren't the same, because you're not going to have the exact same people. You're not going to have the exact same process and technology. So that's a whole another angle that you guys jump in and maybe talk about it from the entity side. What do we know over a 3-year period is almost certainly changed at the entity?
Yeah, I tend to wonder, you know, and we hear it so often, it almost seems like an obsession that, you know, our last audit was fine. We shouldn't have to worry about that. But, you know, it's kind of like an obsession. Is it a symptom of a compliance first culture rather than a security first culture?
That's a good question. My magic 8-ball says signs point to yes. But it may be, a work averse culture. You know, we don't want to change anything. It's not broke. Don't fix it. You know, kind of thing. I've seen that a lot in my travels. You know, and that's an old adage from that goes with, you know, these extremely long life cycles that the equipment traditionally has. Right. You know, 30 plus years. That's unheard of in the IT space. We don't want to change anything. It's working fine. Why do we want to talk about it? So maybe that's a piece too.
Yeah, I was thinking that it was that. And I just know that our industry, you know, staffing wise is, you know, do more with less. So there's a lot of people wearing multiple hats. So it's not necessarily work avoidance. It's trying to manage what they have to do. And often these aren't dedicated compliance people. There are people that have to do a lot of other things other than compliance. So, you know, if they heard the previous audit, hey, you're fine, which they didn't hear, by the way. They never heard you're fine. They probably heard no finding or, wow, your documentation was pretty good. You know, they don't specifically, the auditors aren't going to tell you you're amazing. And if they do, they're bad auditors. I want to talk to them.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting my misstatement earlier, Stacey. I didn't mean to suggest that people are lazy and don't want to work, but that's what I was trying to articulate is, yes, I mean, people are wearing multiple hats, always asked to do more with less. And, you know, it's like they have a day job and compliance on top of that. Right. So, certainly a lot of, limited cycles to go around.
There's a lot going on. And, you know, we talk about the auditors changing. We talk about the people that are being audited change. But there's all, and obviously there's the risks that we look at. And that's what the CMAP's supposed to be doing, is looking at, you know, real risks. But there's the other factors that, you know, the continuous threat model that's out there changes auditors' perspectives of things as well. I know phishing was a thing that we thought about, but I didn't think of it as much as I do today. Today, I probably would want, if I were to audit, you know, a security awareness program, I'd want to see phishing on there. Something about phishing. 10 years ago, I may not have wanted, necessarily even cared. And it's that threat factor that keeps on coming through, you know, the landscape changes. And again, that goes back to the CMAP, but as auditors, we're cybersecurity experts, we're resilience experts, we're part of the, you know, that ecosystem. So we're paying attention as well. So any auditor that's out there that's worth their salt is following the, you know, the trends, and that brings that, they bring that to the audits. So I think that's a big factor as well.
That I think is a huge point, Stacey. And the, you know, the SIP standards, as we all know and understand and love and hate, have a lot of flexibility in a lot of the requirements. They give you an objective to meet. And I like the point you're making about the threat environment has changed. And so the approach the auditors may take, the expectations they have, are going to change and adapt to meet the threat environment. So something, whether it be security awareness or malware protections or maybe a remote access approach, what might have been acceptable 3 years ago, in the face of newer risks that are now known, might no longer be seen as acceptable. BCSI protections is another area. Incident response and reporting. All areas where you have a lot of flexibility and a lot of judgment, but you still have to demonstrate that you're meeting good practices and you're being prudent. good practices change, and the level of diligence needed to demonstrate prudence is going to change over time. If you look at some of the things going on within NERC and the Euro right now, they're really looking hard at the standards and how they can evolve the SIP standards to address risks. And so if you were to pay attention to that, I think what we're going to see come out of that is a roadmap for future standards development. But in the meantime, the risks and the topics that they identify, I think they're going to look for opportunities to bring them down into the audits on the current version where they have some flexibility and where there's some, you know, some nuances or some, I'm not thinking of the word I'm trying to look for, but some, you know, flexibility or ambiguities in the standard where they can try to leverage that to put pressure on entities to take a step forward in the absence of new standards while those standards are being developed.
But we kind of see that with internal controls, right? That's not even part of a standard. So internal controls over the last few years have really stepped up being part of an audit. So much in many cases, it is almost the entire audit is talking about internal controls, and that can really shake up a utility that's not prepared for that. If they were thinking that that last audit, we know exactly how audits go. Well, you might be surprised that the questions that you're going to get may not make any sense because they're not specific to the requirement. They're more about how you're managing your program or how you are assuring compliance is being monitored and managed properly. And that's a big difference.
Very true. I was going to say the same thing about internal controls and how that's really come to the forefront in recent years. And the direction being, you know, from FERC for the regions to start focusing on that, you know, perhaps partially due to the fact that, you know, a traditional audit has been a view into the entity's compliance posture as a snapshot in time. And looking more at internal controls, perhaps the intent is to give the regulator a little bit more warm, fuzzy feeling that, you know, hey, these things are going to continue. You know, you didn't just brush your teeth and tie your shoes and, you know, make sure that you were presentable for this week while we were on site, that you're actually doing, you know, good compliance all the time.
All the time.
And the flip side of things is also true on that. And, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. So while we're seeing this trend towards controls-focused audits, at some point that's likely going to swing back. So if you're looking at your last audit where they just talked about controls and didn't look for performance evidence, you can be very surprised when they come in 3 years later and want to see actual performance evidence. So you have to be careful because it can go either way in both directions.
Absolutely. I think that's a key understanding. And so I guess that's what our whole message here today was, just to bring up, you know, the fact that, you know, we hear that so often, and yet it really doesn't matter what your last audit was like. What really matters is, are you prepared and have you been paying attention to what the expectations are? I know we've talked about the CMEP being out there, but understanding what each region is focused on as well, being part of that conversation. I know at WEC, we have the WICF. MRO has a lot of community type of outreach for the electric sector. There's a lot out there for conversation. And if you're not involved in the compliance opportunities to learn from others, then you're probably going to be surprised. Another area that I think really helps play into being prepared for your next audit, not only forgetting about your past audit, but also bringing in specialists like us who have done it hundreds and hundreds of times, and we're doing it actively with other utilities. So we get to see more than you get to see as an individual contributor at your utility. I think that plays into a big factor into being prepared. And by the way, and here's another pet peeve you guys might get on. Don't hire us and tell us we're wrong. We can be wrong, but hiring us and fighting with us is probably not the good use of your dollars, your company's dollars. But it happens a lot, and I get it. It's very frustrating, especially I've lived the dream too. I've been, you know, Steve, I, myself, Leonard, we've all been at utilities where we were the technical guys and we were getting audited. And it's frustrating sometimes to say, what are they talking about? That's not even important. Or they didn't even look at this wonderful thing we're doing over here in logging. Yeah, I get it. we get the frustrations. But bottom line, there's a madness to all this, that and that madness can be managed. And that's kind of what we are able to do, where you can't as an individual contributor. I think that's a big factor. So as we close this out, I just want to ask this last question. From each of your point of view, what is the difference between passing an audit and being secure?
Wow. Passing an audit and being secure. It's the difference between strictly obeying the traffic laws and driving safely. And I'll tell one quick little analogy on that. My daughter, when she was taking driver's education, came home one day and said, "Dad, I almost drove through a stop sign. I was paying so much attention to the speedometer so I wouldn't exceed the speed limit, because the instructor was harping on that, that I completely missed the stop sign and almost drove through it." Sometimes you can become so focused on compliance, you miss the bigger issues and the bigger risks, and you need to be careful that you don't do that.
Excellent. Yeah, that is cool. Leonard, you got thoughts on that?
I may have a thought or two. Yeah, I mean, my knee jerk was, I mean, you know, those are potentially mutually exclusive topics. they're not, clearly not in, it's supposed to be, but that's unfortunately the kind of the fallout, if you will, of a regulatory first, you know, industry adopting security for the first time, right? And kind of as Steve was talking about earlier, kind of the pendulum. And I think back to, you know, 15 plus years ago, you know, in SIP version 3 days, the industry's come a long way. And I think early on, you know, there was certainly a lot more perspective of focusing on passing the audit, doing whatever they could to minimize their compliance impact, not risk, but impact. And part of it, yeah, people being overworked, tight budgets, whatever the case may be, right? But today, I'm very encouraged, you know, client after client that we talk to and see the levels that they do exceed the minimum requirements of the SIP standards. So I guess, are you doing just the minimum to pass the audit, or are you truly looking at, you know, those potential security risks to your environment and making a call based on lowering those risks, you know, keeping compliance in mind, but not making decisions solely because of compliance?
Yeah, we used to say, and I'm guilty of this, I used to say, if you do good compliance, good security will fall out. I used to say it the opposite way too. If you do good security, compliance is going to fall out. You're right. To me today, I've learned a lot over the last 20 years, and they are mutually exclusive. You have to focus on both. You have to do good security for the right reasons, manage those security risks and do those properly. But to demonstrate compliance is a whole nother game. And often your compliance program can look amazing and your security department looks terrible, or on the vice versa, your security is the best of breed and your compliance is terrible, just because they're not the same thing. And I think that's a good place to stop here. We've harped on the hot audits so the last thing I'll tell everyone, please, if you're still watching by now, that your last audit is just your last audit. Don't even think about it. Yes, you should reference it to see, you know, where we had challenges, what issues we had, make sure you're all done with any open enforcement actions, whatever might be there. But look at the standards. Consider that you have to be compliant with today's risks and today's approach to auditing. That's it for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining Direct Connect. Thanks, Leonard. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook and Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.